Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
So I'm just going to pray before we get into the word. Father, I thank you for each person here. I thank you for your power and your presence and your anointing. I thank you, God, that you would speak through Heidi and I, not just our words, Father, but your word through us. We want to be changed and transformed. We want to receive, Father. We want to feel you tangibly this morning. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this month we are in a series called Overcomers. Overcomers. Yeah, come on now. The reason we are in this series is because Heidi and I got clear direction from God about this need for us to break out of the oppressive mold that I feel like a lot of our country has gotten stuck in. And we can only sit in one place for so long before we realize that we are not moving forward in the call of God that he's put on our lives, right? And so sometimes we need help and accountability and someone to say, Brandon, snap out of it, bro. It's time to move forward, right? And so that's what we're doing as a church. And if the church isn't leading that march forward, who is? So we are a community of believers that says, all right, we have the hope of Jesus, the anchor of our soul. We have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We have the unchanging, powerful word of God to lead us. The Spirit of God, his Holy Spirit inside of us. Come on, I can guarantee you God's not sitting up in heaven going like, well, we'll just check another 30 days and then maybe we can get back with my plans for humanity. He's not doing that, amen? All right. Sorry, I have this stool here to keep me in place. I'm going to get back on it. I don't have to? All right. So our core scripture, Revelation 12, 11, they conquered him completely. They conquered the enemy completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of their testimony. Hence this series, Overcomers. They triumphed because they did not love and cling to their own mask. I mean, their own lives, sorry. Even when faced with death. There is nothing that exemplifies not clinging to your own life than marriage does. So this Sunday, we are talking about overcoming marriage mountains. And you say, well, I'm not married. This message isn't for me. I guess I'll just go watch a really old movie in the vintage theater. Not everybody's married. We get that. Let's clarify those things, okay? We realize not everybody's married. We realize not everybody's happily married. And we realize not everybody stays married, okay? We get that. We understand that. And that's why this morning we are choosing to be a little bit vulnerable with our own story and have a conversation. You know, we had a conversation last week with Ryan and Angela Watkins. We're having a conversation next week with Sunday Berquist. Yes, we're having a conversation the week after that with Pastor Lynn Hammond. And we figured we need to have a conversation because it's hilarious for her and I, because we always agree on everything, obviously. So, about marriage mountains, okay? Marriage is a relationship, and relationships apply to everyone. Second thing we want you to know right off the bat, we do not have a perfect marriage. What? I know. I know. It's shocking. We do not have any marriage books under our name. We do not have perfect kids. Sorry, buddy. I know you're here today. You come by it honestly. We do fight.
Yes.
I got an amen out of her on that one. All right. We have bad days. We have had the conversation, which none of you had, about, man, would it be easier to be single? Wow. None of you guys have had that conversation, I'm sure. And church, I will admit, we have let the sun go down on our wrath. Apologies. Apologies. It's the real deal. Again, none of you deal with this. This is just for you to laugh at the problems that we face, okay? Last thing we want to just kind of get across to you guys before we get rolling. Every marriage faces different challenges. Everybody say, every.
Every.
Ah. Doesn't that feel good? You guys are just as messed up as we are. Amen. Every journey, right? So every marriage journey, every relationship journey takes different twists, different turns, different ups, different downs. And that's why there is no one sermon that answers all the questions about marriage. There will not be one sermon today that says this is how you overcome every marriage mountain. There is not one book, not one preacher, not one seminar that fits all. Take a deep breath. Come on. Isn't that good news? I literally felt the air get sucked out of the room when I said take a deep breath because everybody was like, thank God. Amen? But we believe, as always, that God's promises apply to your marriage. And we believe that the Holy Spirit leads us all in our marriages day to day. Thank God for His Spirit. All right? So we really wanted to hit home the fact that we don't have all this figured out. And the best way to do that is tell you a little bit about our story. Put your notes away. You don't want to write this stuff down. Okay. Don't laugh. You can only laugh at me in private, okay? Not in front of people. This is not going to happen. Okay. Okay, a little bit about our story. Showing you that we're just, you know, we've got our own story with its own twists and turns, right? I'm divorced, and so that obviously makes Heidi a stepmom. So we are a blended family. So all y'all just, right? It's crazy. Any other blended families in here? It's all good. Yeah, right? Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, blended families. Oh, God. We have a total of four kids. Three, almost four, five, 11, 13, going on 25. So we've got four kids, and we pastor a church. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. Amen? He is good. He's so good to us because we are madly in love with each other, and you'll find out why. Mostly I am, like, obsessed with her because she is amazing, and she puts up with
You're
me.
You're amazing.
Thanks, babe. Heidi cleans house for extra cash. Our oldest son is a preteen, right? Enneagram 8. He's a challenger, and he loves it. He admits it. He takes hold of it and runs with it. Basically, we're like the Cleaver's worst nightmare. That's kind of the way we describe ourselves. But like I said, we are so in love, and all you need is love. Oh, yes. All you need is love. Come on, y'all. Just having a little fun this morning. My glass is always half empty. Hers is half full. It's just the way we work. All right. My core team just laughed at that one. That's awesome. Let's level the playing field, okay? Because when we get into this conversation, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page about a couple things, all right? So you have to understand, marriage mountains don't change, okay? I would have to assume that the majority of us in here that are married or engaged, you face probably extremely similar challenges that everybody else has faced. But how we handle and overcome those challenges, and this goes for anything in life, that looks a little different throughout this journey. Amen? Is that okay? I mean, we could take the approach of like, well, you just smile and you stay in faith. I'm so happy in my marriage. Praise the Lord. Everything's perfect, right? Or we admit that, hey, we've got challenges. How are you working through your challenges? How can we help each other? What's working for you? All right. Here's what I mean by that. How we handle these challenges, how we respond to these challenges is different. So I've got a gal that works with me. Her name is Lauren. She's our youth director. I'm going to pick on her and her husband, Caleb, for a second. Let's say it's, where do you want to go out for dinner tonight? That's the question. At 21 years old, that may end up in a fight. At 31 years old, It might be something more of just kind of like a no big deal. We'll figure it out, whatever. At 41 years old, there's no conversation at all because the man says, wherever you want to go, babe, he's figured it out. So every season offers different ways, right, of overcoming. I wrote a couple of these things down here as Heidi and I were talking about this. It's about closeness, not just conflict. It's about persistence, right? Marriage, not perfection. It's about communication, not just chaos. It's about humility, amen, not hatred. And it's a faith walk, not a fairy tale. Yeah. Amy, that was you laughing. I hear you. It's a faith walk. I'm not using last names. Give me a break, you guys. Kiev. I mean, okay. It's a faith walk. If you come to this church and I know you, game over. Don't leave. Kiev, stay. I love you. I see that hand. That's why I'm sitting in the back row, you guys. I can't see you, so you're hiding. That's good. Marriage is antithetical. This is what that means. It's the easiest, hardest thing that you can do. It's the best and worst. It's the most joyful and the most painful thing that you will do. It's the most peaceful roller coaster that you will ever go on. It is an oxymoron. Do not hit your husband when I say that word. It is a paradox. Amen? In the same, listen to this. You've got Paul, right, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul says, I don't recommend marriage. And in the same breath, he compares Jesus Christ to marriage. We're not going to figure it out in the next 30 minutes, all right? But we're going to have a conversation about it. So be encouraged.
So in the message, there's a sentence, Matthew 19:12. It says, but if you're capable of growing into the largeness of marriage, do it. And I've thought about this verse a lot. Marriage is challenging. Also, we can use it to refine and grow us, right? When it says the largeness of marriage, I pictured a magnifying glass. When I got married and became a stepmom, especially, I feel like everything I needed to work on in my life was magnified.
Why are you looking at me and laughing already? We're like 5 minutes into this.
So with a magnifying glass, obviously, when you look through it, you can see things closer, clearer, bigger. It's right here. And it's okay because this is a perfect opportunity. And this is with any relationship. It's a perfect opportunity to let the Lord shine his light onto those areas that we can grow in. A magnifying glass, when the sun shines through it, it burns something at an accelerated rate because it's this concentrated beam of sunlight focusing on one area. In the same way, marriage magnifies that area. If we want, the Lord will shine his light through and he will focus on something burning away like the dross, like fire on gold, refining us and transforming us into what he's created us to be at an accelerated rate. See, he pulls this stuff out. And that is what the largeness of marriage can do, or any relationship, really.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. It's a lot about that perspective and how you're going to choose to handle it, I guess, right? And we've had occasions where it just burned. And it made me mad, right?
And burns can leave a mark, but that doesn't make it bad, right?
See, she's very positive about things. I have a very large magnifying glass on me.
Babe, I have a question.
Oh, no, not already. Oh, geez. Okay, no, I'm ready for
you. Describe what you would think is the foundation of marriage. That's a big question.
All right. Foundation of marriage. I should probably say Jesus. No, this is a good question. All right. Some of you guys may have heard our story of our first date. So, babe, I want to do this for you. I want to reenact our first date. Can we do that? I mean,
kind of embarrassed.
We didn't
do
anything appropriate. We're not going that far. Okay, guys, bring that stuff out for me. Kevin, give me something good on the screen here. You guys got any, like, mood music? Something? Okay. We asked Darren to come out as a Chip and Dale server, but he said he wouldn't do it. Thank you. Oh, this is low budget. We're a portable church. We're new. Bear with us. You like these flowers? Thanks, Kevin. All right. So the thing about our first date is a little background. Heidi and I, see, if I tell the whole thing, people think I'm weird. She was a kindergarten teacher, and I had a kindergartner. That had nothing to do with it, okay? But I would see her as I was dropping off my son. See her. Who's that girl? Who's that lady? Right? So I finally got up the guts. I asked her out on a date. And I wanted to take her out at the most inconspicuous time of the week, right? Like on a, I think it was a Tuesday or a Thursday, wasn't it? Because nobody's going to be at a restaurant downtown on a Tuesday night at like 4:30, right? So I was just going to take her out. God had shown me some things in my heart about her, but I didn't want to be one of those weird spiritual people that was like, the Lord told me, right? She'd be like, ah! Scary Christian people. Don't do that, okay? So we take her, we go out, and I'm like, this is going to be great. We'll have some privacy. I don't want to be around people I know. We walk in, and one of the most predominant families at Living Word Christian Center was having a birthday party with all seven sides of their family. So as we walk in, I did one of the whole, can we go sit over here, right? The server's like, sure, yeah, we can move tables. Anyway, we sat down at the table. There's like a piece of something on your glass here, I'm sorry. And the first question that I asked her, I don't recommend following how I did this, but the first question that I asked her, and I was sitting here like this, I had my hands on the table, I said, I said, do you love me?
We don't recommend
this. Don't let that be the first. I mean, you know, here's the deal. You got two kids. You know, you're a pastor. You've got baggage coming out of all ends. Like, you got to cut to the chase. Right?
Am I supposed to act with you
here? I want you to so bad.
I don't even know.
And your response was?
I mean, the Lord had shown me, but.
And I was looking very dapper that night.
I took both my hands and I reached across the table and I said, I love you so much. And mind you, I didn't say that to everybody. I mean, I do now.
You didn't
but
say that
I
to anybody else,
it
right?
To that was any guy I had dated.
So, yeah, we found out later that that was the first time she had told anybody that she loved them. She'd had guys say, I love you. But she knew that she wanted to wait until she could say it herself from her heart. So that's kind of a little bit of the. Now, my response was, do you know how messed up I am? I wish I was joking. I really do. And she said again, yes, I love you. And my point here, we can kill that music. I feel like I'm, that's so nice, you guys. And the fireplace is that if you guys want to lean back in your chair and watch the fireplace, that's up to you too. But the whole point is this. It does really go back to the fact of knowing that you are loved. That is, and we said this about forgiveness. We say this about overcoming. We say this from day one, and we'll say it to day 100,000,000,001, right? That it's knowing that you are loved by Christ.
And there's deeper revelations of that love, because you may right. say, I know that I'm loved, but he wants to show you more.
Yeah, and to have somebody like Jesus that's willing to show you more, yeah. to have somebody like Jesus that says, I know your mess. I know your issues. I know the mistakes that you've made. I saw them yesterday. I saw them 5 minutes ago, and I still love you. She knew my situation. She knew how messy it was, and she chose to say in that moment, yes, I love you, before I had even said it to her. Wow. And that is why I look at her every day and I see the grace of God, right? That she loved me before I told her that I loved her. And Jesus loves us without sometimes us even saying a word about it, right? And that is the foundation of marriage. When you know that despite your mess, knowing that God loves you no matter what, right? And that means at the end of the day, there's no fight, there's no feud, there's no words. Because I know you guys don't say harsh words to each other, but some people do. There's no harsh words that's going to separate you from the love that you have for each other. Now, please realize I'm not talking about situations of constant abuse and you should just sit in that and suffer because that's the way God loves you. I'm not talking about that. You guys know that. But I'm just talking about these things that the devil tries to use, these mountains, sometimes they're molehills, that God tries to use to bring separation there. Amen? Come on now. All right. I thought of this question, babe. I want to ask it to you. What is the one lesser known mountain you feel people struggle with in marriage?
Well, I think sometimes, and maybe this isn't everybody, I know it was for me, but I think it's the mountain of losing yourself. So what I mean by that is like before we're married, the hope is that we know who the Lord has called us to be. We know what he says about us. We know who we are. And we don't need somebody else to complete us or define us. But sometimes in marriage or the busyness of life or jobs or raising kids, mistakes, challenges, changes, we forget who we are and we lose that self and we allow other things to define us in those moments. But the good news is that the Lord is constantly calling us back to him, our first love. He's reminding us who we are, how he loves us, how he thinks that we're good, how he believes in us, no matter what challenges or changes that we face. And when we are secure in that identity as individuals, then we can be stronger as a couple.
Wow. That's really good. I'm thinking about how like our identity as a man sometimes gets lost, right? Because we think that, well, we're supposed to fix everything. So if something's going on in the marriage, then I need to change 20 things about myself, 20 things about our schedule, 20 things about 20 things, right? To try and fix things. And just speaking from my perspective here, I guess a little bit, when really everything that you just said goes back to stop trying to change so many things at once, go back to your identity in Christ, which means how can I be a reflection of him is honestly just, I'm not going to concern myself with what's been going wrong. I'm not going to ignore it, but I'm not going to try and fix it. I'm going to, with grace, say, and this is super hard, especially for a guy like me, to say, like, okay, babe, I don't know how to fix this. And I don't know what you need right now. What should we do? Yeah. Try asking your wife, what should we do? Oh, I just feel that resonating in my heart. Good, yeah. What should we do? You tell me, like, what do you think we should do? How do you think we should handle this? Because then what that's going to do is she's going to tap into her identity in Christ. And believe it or not, the reason we sit up here and we teach and preach together is because I can't and don't want to do this by myself. She has so much in her, so much, not just preaching, not just teaching. That is such a minor part of what we do and what we're called to do. But she has so much in her as a woman, as a wife, as a mom, as a leader, and on and on and on. And guys, let's tap into that. Oh, but you don't know what she's going through. You don't know what her challenges are. Right, but there is a God-given identity inside of her. Your job is not to fix that. Your job is to draw that out of her.
That's good. That's good. Come on, Brandon.
And that can also be for our kids. I know that's not with marriage, but I do feel like that's with our children, too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Sorry, kids. My job is to draw the God-given identity out Because that's what Jesus does. He works graciously with us, right? The rhythms of grace. It's a process of twists and turns, and he's so gracious to come alongside with us instead of just trying to fix us. Because if he just tried to fix us, we would become robots. We would be faith robots. And there's enough faith robots out there, church. We don't need any more. Jesus wants to work with us. I got to stop. We're going to get way off here. Okay, babe. So I got a question. Okay, ready? What story in the Bible do you think best explains how to overcome marriage mountains? Heidi's like a vault of scripture. I don't know how she does it.
I don't know why you say that. I think that there's probably a lot of stories in the Bible, but I asked the Lord, you know, what does he want for the people listening for us this morning? And there is a story that is so short and so simple, but it has so much in it. So it's got this message of redemption in it. In Acts 27 to 12, I'm just going to paraphrase it, but Paul is preaching to the disciples and believers in an upper room, and they're surrounded by candles. Paul is preaching so long and so late into the night that...
Did you just point at me when you said Paul is preaching so long?
Oh, and that this young guy named Eutychus is sitting in the windowsill and, you know, he falls asleep. He falls out the window 3 stories to his death.
Jeez. Good marriage story, babe. Story. Anyway...
Paul comes running down to the lowest level where he is. He wraps his arms around Eutychus and he says, "Don't worry, he's alive." They bring Eutychus back up to the top level and they have communion and everyone is full of life and encouraged. Eutychus falling is like those difficult seasons and transitions that we go through in relationships. And when we fall, you know, we hit that rock bottom.
Anybody ever been there, rock bottom?
Literally in this story. And in that moment, hope dies. We're taken from this top level that's full of light, this bright place, safe, warm, surrounded by friends and family, and we're dropped outside in the dark, in the cold, all alone, to this low place. Well, when that happens, the Lord, our loving Father, comes running down to the level that we are at, the lowest place, sometimes when no one else will. And he doesn't shame us and he doesn't condemn us, but he wraps his arms around us and he declares over us and everyone else who's listening, "Don't worry, you are alive. I'm restoring hope. I'm bringing new life to the places that you were dead." And when he restores that, after he does that, it's like we have this, what could have been this dead end, because of the Lord and his love, he makes a new beginning. And then he brings us back up to the light like he did for Eutychus. And when the Lord, who he is he will always use these difficult situations to bring us back up to another level. And what that does is we have a new perspective now. So the higher we go, the more we know, the more we see, the more we understand. And because our viewpoint is different. And this whole process of restoration may not be how we expect it, and it may not be in the timing that we expect it. Ask us how we know. but that's when we don't see it, that's when we make that choice to say, "I'm going to choose to believe that it's going to be better." Because, and then you watch the Lord. You take his hand, you look at him as he walks you through it. And one more note, Eutychus's name means favored and fortunate. So it's just this picture of how God is continually pouring his favor on us, and he's restoring hope, and he's bringing new life, and he's coming down to where we're at, and he'll do it every single time.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good, isn't it? I had this other question pop into my mind. You know, I feel like when you kind of hit that rock bottom moment, right? There's so many different ways to handle it. I sometimes feel like pressured, like I have to handle things a certain way, right? Like I'm supposed to do this right now, or I'm supposed to do that, but I'm not feeling like I want to, or I should, or maybe you try the thing that you're supposed to try to get out of rock bottom and it's not working. I think it would be helpful for us to just, again, we're trying to just be vulnerable with some things, like to maybe like describe, what do you do in that moment, right? Like where, when you feel like you're at rock bottom. Now, for some people, rock bottom might be this huge blow-up fight. For some people, rock bottom might be like, I don't know, we've just kind of lost that spark or that passion. Rock bottom might be like one of us is dealing with some sort of sickness, or rock bottom might be like somebody, one of us is just like in that kind of depressive state where it's like, I don't want to pursue the Lord. I mean, rock bottom could be anything, right? For different people. I'm just overwhelmed with, you know, all the kids and my job and all the things. And I just, you know, I'm not happy. Rock bottom could be different. That falling out of the window moment could be different for all of us. But what is like that perspective tweak? Like, what do you literally do when you hit that moment? That's what I'm asking you. Yeah, I'm asking you.
Well,
I'm asking you, babe.
I think one thing to add to that is yeah, rock bottom. Sometimes it can be something so little, and you're like, I shouldn't be, you know, that's so little and silly to be concerned about. But if we care about it, then he cares about it, no matter how little or how big it is. So he is right there, and he's, you know, he cares about it,
right,
even if you think it's too little. But I think that that answer is all about the Holy Spirit, babe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because sometimes it depends on what we need. It depends on the direction that he's leading us.
So
it depends on the situation.
That's good, though. I like how you say it depends on what you need. Mm-hmm. And not to get on understanding yourself and on that kick again, but like, you should not be ashamed or afraid if what you need doesn't fit kind of the status quo of what you are supposed to need in those situations. Let me just like, the reason I'm bringing this up is because as I was thinking about this question, like for me, sometimes what I need is space. Anybody else? Like four of you, five of you? Space. Why? Because I need to calm down and get my perspective right. And honestly, sometimes I need sleep. Anybody else get really cranky when you're tired? No? Good. Just check in. You know, sometimes I need sleep, right? Because I know if we have this conversation right now, it's not going to end well because I need just some sleep. I might need some space. I might need some sleep. And I just guess I want to say it's okay that as you learn and understand yourself and as you learn and understand your spouse and what their needs are, because guess what? She doesn't sometimes need space. Sometimes she wants to talk it out, right? But as we understand and we give and take, because the Holy Spirit leads us in that moment instead of our emotion, it helps us. I don't know. I just feel like it helps us get on that road of overcoming that situation without putting the condemnation on ourselves that like the sun is setting. We've got to figure it out before we lay our heads down on the pillow or what? I mean, come on. Jesus took 30 days to figure out some stuff in his life. He had to go to bed sometime in there. It's okay if it takes time, right? Yeah. When you're figuring that out. And I guess the reason I was asking is because when you say things like, let the Lord lead and listen to him, I think that kind of looks different for everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Like for me, sometimes just like fishing is like the Lord, you know? And sometimes it's like, I need that time and that space to get myself right again. Yeah, amen. You know?
Or other people.
Good point. That's a big one. Is that a big one for you? I feel like that's a big one for you because you're always going out with people.
If you have to... No, I'm not. If you have to process out loud, sometimes that's helpful for some people. I don't know. I feel like the Lord is faithful to help us through it, you know, to show us and to bring what we need.
Yeah. And what's the game changer for you? Taking notes.
What is the question, babe?
The game changer for you when you've got that rock bottom experience, yeah. You know?
Well, for me, and this is different for everybody, but I'm so like nerdy, I guess, in this way, but I have a journal and I just write everything down like I'm talking to the Lord. And for some reason that's therapy for me. So I write it down and through that he can kind of direct me. And sometimes it's having a conversation with you. Sometimes it's with other people. Sometimes it's just sitting and listening to worship to get my mind back focused on his greatness, you know?
Yeah. I think it kind of comes down to really the whole reason we're having this conversation. Like we said, I mean, time flies, we're almost out of time here, you know, and there's so much to discuss. And that's the point. There is so much to discuss. There are so many conversations to be had. And it's not just even having conversations with each other, right? But surrounding yourself with people that love you and that you can talk to and that you can have these conversations with. And that's anything. Yes, marriage. Yes, relationships. Yes, the bad things, but yes, the good things. Yeah. Amen? And that's the importance of church. That's the importance. That's why we make such a big deal about life groups, it's not just sitting around awkwardly eating appetizers with people that you don't know, right? Like, hey, so we signed up for this life group and this is really awkward, right? No, it's about building relationship over time so that you can talk about this sort of stuff. It is therapeutic to air your dirty laundry in front of a few hundred people. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying it's such a healing process. We think to ourselves, I just need this one person. She's my everything. No. No, we need other people. We need other perspectives. We need to have other conversations, not just any conversation with just anybody or any old book. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying God's bringing people. He's brought you. He's brought us into each other's lives to have these conversations and work through the journey together. The fact is, there is no one right answer. All the people that have been married for more than 20 years say, I've been married 8 years and I have a 13-year-old. You can do the math on that one, right? It's not just one, you're thinking, it's not just one right answer. Amen? It's the journey that we're on together. Man, I look at these people in this worship band, right? This worship team. You guys are brought together for a purpose beyond just showing up here and singing. I think of our volunteer teams. You're here for a purpose beyond just shaking a hand or setting something up. There are deeper relationships. If you're a part of this church community, God has ordered your steps here for a purpose. And it's not just to give a tithe or listen to a sermon. There are life-changing relationships that will breathe life into your current relationships. Let me tell you how I got through some of the most difficult times in my life before I met her. It was by my friends from church that held me and walked me through some of the most difficult things I never thought I would experience. That's what this is about. Yeah. And that's what makes it exciting. After 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, it can be that exciting because you are connected with people. You're living and breathing and growing and struggling together and seeing victories together. That's why we're talking about overcoming. We're overcoming together by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. That's what this does. It makes life worth living no matter how difficult it can get. Amen, church. Amen. So I wanted to just touch on that. You know, friends and connections and relationships, they're there to carry us in those times when we're weak. They're there to give us the word in those times when we don't want to hear it. They're there to encourage us, right? To work together with us in those times where we're weak. A marriage just doesn't stop between two people. It involves a village. It takes a village. Amen. So I wanted to say that, you know, we've got, in just a minute here, I just want to take a second. And if you are engaged or married, I just want to pray for you and your spouse if you're here this morning. Can we take a second and do that? Yeah. Is that all right? Because we are
in your life for a reason. God has put Heidi and I here for a reason. And we pray for you and we believe God for you. I mean, I'm telling you, you guys, the great thing about a church that's this size and growing, but we know your faces and we know some of the things that you're going through and we pray for you. And we want to do that right here, right now for you. So if you're with your husband or wife and maybe you guys got in a fight this morning on the way to church, I'm just going to ask you to put that aside and hold her hand right now. Squeeze it really tight. And we're going to pray for you, okay? Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And hey, if you're not married right now, just stand in agreement with us, okay? We pray for all of these couples that you've brought together. Yeah, you've brought together, Lord. And I thank you that what you bring together, no one, nothing can separate. God, I thank you right now for your love that runs deeper than even our love could ever imagine, that holds us, that speaks to us, that gives us wisdom, that is the filter of our words and our voices. I thank you for that love right now, just flowing between each person, each relationship. God, right now I pray for people that are looking for the right relationship, and I thank you, God, that you are reminding them it's in your time. It's your plan. It's your path. And for the people that are coming out of a relationship that have struggled and maybe it's led to divorce, God, I pray for a supernatural healing in them and in their hearts right now, God. And for all of us, God, I thank you that this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. A refreshing, a newness, an excitement. Just the beginning. And I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are just believing you guys for the best. Yeah, this sounds so funny to say. The best year. Yeah. Yeah. Woohoo. For you, for your relationships, for your marriages, for your families. What do you want us to get up here and be like, man, this year's terrible. See you next week. Come on, we are here to encourage you. The best is yet to come. That doesn't start tomorrow or next week. That starts right now. Go on a date after church. What? Without your kids.
Yes.
Yes, don't leave them here. We don't want them, but go on a date. Not to keep going, but this is something that breaks the mold, right? Dear Lord, sometimes the only thing you could do is go on a date and say, let's just get out of here. I mean, find a babysitter. I'm not bailing you out of jail. Find a babysitter and go on a date. Break the mold this week, you guys. Can we commit to do that? Can we hold each other accountable? I see a couple of wives' hands over. Kanisha, I see that hand. Landon, get your checkbook out, bro. Break the mold this week. Shake it up this week. Maybe this church service is that for you. Like depression, depression, depression. Turn on the news. It's depressing. Talk to your family. It's even more depressing. Nothing's going right. Maybe this service is just a break the mold this week. Like, no, I am an overcomer. Dang it. Let's do that with our marriages, with our relationships. Step outside the mold this week. Can we commit to do that? Man, go out to a half-capacity restaurant. Have that server breathe all over your food. And just love on each other. Amen? Come on.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know, so feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.